Matthew chapter 19, the writer here shares a story that's repeated in some of the other gospel books, a story that we know today as the rich young ruler, starting verse 16. The account goes as this, "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept, what am I still lacking?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you wish to be complete, go and sell off and give to the poor, or go and sell off your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' When the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, 'Then who can be saved?' And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, 'With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" We see here this young man, and through the details shared through the different accounts, we see this man was a young man. We see that he owned many possessions, therefore we deduce that he was rich or wealthy. And he comes to Jesus and asks, "What good thing must I do?" You see here he was basing his salvation or his grasp on eternal life on works. He was based on self-reliance. We obviously can see that he was dependent upon his wealth. And the thought of giving it all up grieved him, and he went away sad. I can only imagine him maybe looking down at his nice clothes, his robe, maybe looking back at where he lived, his land and his house, and the thought of giving it all up scared him. I wouldn't have been surprised if he would have looked Jesus in the face and asked him, "How much? How much would it take for me to have this gift?" Which we know that is impossible to obtain through monetary possessions. But the thought of living without all of this was just too much for him to bear, and he went away sad. And sadly, we see here that after Jesus explained to his disciples the difficulty for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God, they were astonished. The fact that it would be difficult for someone of wealth, and they even asked, "Well, who can have it? If they can't, basically." He was persistent that he had done everything that he could possibly do, but the one thing he truly lacked was submission. The heartfelt, no holds barred, no strings attached to submission to God. Sadly, this was a common theme for Israel throughout the Old Testament. We see their lives were a constant roller coaster of self-reliance and dependence upon themselves. When things were going great, they would forget God, serve themselves, and even serve false gods. God would bring retribution upon them for a time, and they would eventually submit once again and then fall away again. In Jesus' day, we see there that the religious leaders were consumed by their own self-righteousness, blinded by their works and what was in it for them. They couldn't even see the righteous one standing among their midst. And we see in Romans chapter 10, the writer here writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for them to have their salvation," speaking of Israel. "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." And here we are today, and we are no different at times. We lack submission, although we may have submitted when we were baptized. We still occasionally drag that old dead man back up again and drag him around with us. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 it says, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We think to ourselves, "I'm not as bad as them over there. I've done everything I can. I've checked all the boxes for salvation," much like the rich young ruler. Our works are useless without selfless obedience and full submission. Jesus told His disciples that discipleship is costly. Jesus urged His followers to count the cost in Luke 14:28. Submission to God may cost us a lot. It may cost you everything. And we should be wholeheartedly willing to give up whatever the cost. And in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake shall find it. For what will a man be benefited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Self-denial in order to take up our cross daily. Why not? Jesus gave up everything for us. He left the splendor of heaven, everything He knew, the presence with His Father. He lived on this earth like one of us. He was tempted in every way like us, but was obedient to the point of death. A life for a life is all He requires from us. A life which the rich young ruler was unwilling to give. But what do we have to gain? What we have to gain pales in comparison to that which we'll give up, which is temporary. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us." So today, as we come and gather around the Lord's table and think about that sacrifice that He gave for us, that He went to that cross completely and 100% selfless to die for us, to take upon our sins on that cross, sins that He didn't commit, to die for us, the sinner. And all He asks from us is obedience and submission. Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank You, God, so much for this time that we can gather around Your table, Lord. And as we partake of these emblems, Lord, that represent Your body and Your blood, just help us to do so in a worthy manner. Help us, Lord, to have pure hearts and pure minds, Lord, as we think upon that sacrifice, as we think upon that death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, that brought us salvation, that washed away our sins, Lord, that we could have eternal life, not based on works that we can do, not based on anything that we could achieve, Lord, not based on our righteousness, Lord, that we could be glorified, but based on what You did for us, Lord. And help us, God, to just fully submit to You and hand everything that we have over to You, Lord. We thank You, God, so much for the sacrifice. We thank You so much for Your love. We thank You so much for Your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.